Hello, and welcome to Words of Wisdom, a podcast dedicated to reflecting on the wisdom of the Book of Proverbs. Your host is Dr. Jerry Weirwool, who will share life-giving truth from Proverbs that will help us become wise and discerning. Wisdom is a journey, and we hope you will join us for this exciting adventure.
Proverbs 2, verses 6 through 8 says, "For Yahweh gives wisdom. From his mouth comes forth knowledge and discernment. He has stored up sound advice for the upright, a shield for those who walk blamelessly, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his loyal ones." Before looking more closely at this section, let's go back and do a quick recap of verses 1 through 5 to get some context as to what has already been said at the beginning of chapter 2. It is important to understand the context in chapters 1 through 10 because this portion of the book of Proverbs is comprised of wisdom speeches, which are longer poems than what are found elsewhere in the book. Most of the rest of Proverbs are individual wisdom sayings and typically don't have a direct connection to any of the surrounding verses. The beginning of chapter 2, it begins with Solomon as a father appealing to his son for him to seek wisdom. Solomon's aim in verses 1 through 5 is to motivate his son to actively pursue wisdom with persistence and passion. If he does this, Solomon says, he will discover the fear of Yahweh, along with all the practical and ethical instruction that comes with it. Verses 1 through 5, they consist of a series of conditional statements that then culminate in one climactic outcome. "If you receive," it says, "if you call out, if you raise your voice, if you seek and search, then you will understand and find." This series of statements is meant to build the degree of desire one must have for wisdom. Thus, Solomon's son is not to seek wisdom half-heartedly or with mild interest and effort, but rather with fervent resolve and determination. Then, beginning in verse 6, Solomon now explains the source and value of the wisdom that he is insisting his son strive after. Solomon's words are not the source of wisdom for his son. Indeed, they contain wisdom, but more importantly, they lead the son to the fountainhead of all wisdom, Yahweh. For the proverb says, "Yahweh gives wisdom." Moreover, from Yahweh's mouth also comes knowledge and discernment. Therefore, it may seem as though the logic is circular here, and in a way, it is. Solomon tells his son that if he listens to wisdom, he will come to know Yahweh. And if he knows Yahweh, then he will find wisdom. The function of the circular logic is to reinforce the importance of Solomon's words as containing wisdom from Yahweh. We can diagram the logic as follows. Solomon's words, in verse 1, give wisdom and discernment, as it says in verse 2. Wisdom and discernment give the knowledge of God, as it says in verse 5. And then wisdom, knowledge, and discernment are given by the mouth of God, in verse 6. So then where do we find the words that come from the mouth of God? Well, based on the authority of Solomon's words to his son, which contain wisdom and lead the son toward wisdom, and since wisdom comes from Yahweh, then what logically entails is that Solomon's words are words that come from Yahweh. That is, they are part of true wisdom. Therefore, we can view Solomon, in a sense, as Yahweh's mouthpiece, delivering wisdom through his words in the book of Proverbs, which are not all from Solomon, but a majority of them are. Now, verse 7 goes on to explain that Yahweh has stored up sound advice for the upright. The idea of storing up something implies setting it aside for a particular reason or purpose. What Yahweh has reserved or set aside is sound advice. The Hebrew word translated sound advice can refer to power, capacity, or competence that results in the ability to achieve moral success. What that means is that sound advice is more than mere intellectual knowledge. Rather, it is the exercise of mental faculties in practical operation, which results in sound judgment and good decisions that reflect wisdom. Thus, sound advice is another expression used in Proverbs that is akin to wisdom, discernment, understanding, and insight. All are essentially components of wisdom, but each term offers a slightly different facet. the meaning and purpose of this sound advice that Yahweh has reserved for the upright is further described as being a shield, using a militaristic metaphor. The notion that sound advice will protect the upright like a shield comports with the positive and protective benefits of wisdom. This protective characteristic is also used of wisdom in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 6, where wisdom is personified and said to guard those who find her. The protection that wisdom and sound advice offer is not an extrinsic reward that is additionally received, but rather it is a consequence that is intrinsic to the blessing of acquiring her. The one who finds her reaps the safety and welfare that she provides. The phrase, those who walk blamelessly, is roughly synonymous to the upright in the first line of the proverb, and it refers to those who are moral and righteous in their way of life in the eyes of Yahweh. To be blameless, it means to be innocent, and thus the blameless are those who have done nothing to offend or disobey Yahweh. They are committed to walking on the road of wisdom, which is God's instruction for how to live with godliness, moral virtue, and understanding in all things. By giving sound advice to the upright, the proverb says that Yahweh is guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his loyal ones. The dual capacity of guarding and watching over describe how Yahweh acts as a shield for those who listen to the sound advice that he has stored up for those who seek wisdom. To guard means to protect and defend from exposure, injury, or destruction. What Yahweh guards or protects are the paths of justice. This phrase is a metaphor for living righteously. Walking upon the paths of justice, it means living with the fear of Yahweh in a right relationship to Him and submitting to His rule, since justice is what He has established and what He requires of His people. Therefore, Yahweh is described as protecting the paths of justice, ensuring that they are not damaged or corrupted for those who desire to walk upon them. This means that people who seek wisdom and desire to live upright are not left to their own strength or understanding, because Yahweh protects the paths so that those whom wisdom leads on them will be unhindered as they continue to live upright and seek the face of Yahweh. Furthermore, Yahweh watches over, meaning he exercises great care and concern for, the way of his loyal ones. Yahweh's loyal ones refer to those who are faithful to him in covenant relationship. They demonstrate love and devotion, and they submit to him as the true ruler of the world. The way of his loyal ones denotes their way of life, that is, their manner of living, their actions, their attitudes, and their desires. These are the people who are dedicated to serving Yahweh and who surrender to following a course of life that is honoring to Him and that reflects His character and heart for His people. In order to illustrate these proverbs, I want to look at a record in the Bible concerning the author of many of the sayings in the book of Proverbs and the wisest man who ever lived, King Solomon. After Solomon becomes the king of Israel, he was in Gibeon when Yahweh appeared to him in a dream and asked Solomon what he wanted him to give him. And this is what Solomon requested. "And now, Yahweh my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, yet I am like a little boy. I do not know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is capable of judging this great people of yours?" That's in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. Yahweh heard Solomon's desire to become wise and granted him his request. Yahweh basically offered Solomon a blank check when he said, "Ask what you wish me to give you." Solomon could have asked him for anything he wanted. He could have asked for military power, the expansion of his kingdom, riches and wealth beyond his imagination, an easy life with pleasure, or any other desire or ambition that he might have had. Instead, Solomon perceived the significance of his responsibility as the new king of Israel, and that Israel was a great nation, too many to be numbered or counted. And therefore, what he asked Yahweh for was for wisdom to be a good ruler. He knew that he needed the ability to discern between good and evil so as to reign with righteousness and justice in the land. The next record in Scripture depicts Solomon's wisdom in ruling with justice and righteousness. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 to 28, it says, "Then two women, who were prostitutes, came to the king and stood before him. The one woman said, 'Pardon me, my lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. And it happened on the third day after I gave birth that this woman also gave birth to a child, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, only the two of us in the house. Then this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from beside me while your servant was asleep, and she laid him at her breast and laid her dead son at my breast. When I got up in the morning to nurse my son, behold, he was dead. But when I examined him closely in the morning, behold, he was not my son whom I had born.' Then the other woman said, 'No, for the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son.' But the first woman said, 'No, for the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son.' So they spoke before the king. Then the king said, 'The one says, this is my son who is living, and your son is the dead one. And the other says, no, for your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one.' And the king said, 'Get me a sword.' So they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, 'Cut the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other.' But the woman whose child was the living one spoke to the king, for she was deeply stirred over her son. And she said, 'Pardon me, my lord, give her the living child, and by no means kill him.' But the other woman was saying, 'He shall be neither mine nor yours, cut him.' Then the king replied, 'Give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother.' When all Israel heard about the judgment which the king had handed down, they feared the king, because they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. What might appear at first to be a calloused and brutal judgment on the part of King Solomon turns out to be an amazing strategy for how to reveal the hearts of the two women, thereby enabling Solomon to discern which one is the true mother of the child. On account of the wisdom that Yahweh gave Solomon, Solomon demonstrated its presence in him and his ability to rule well and settle seemingly impossible disputes. Upon hearing about the prudence and insight with which Solomon administered justice in this incident, all Israel had great respect for King Solomon, because they saw that the wisdom of God was in him, meaning that all Israel now knew that he had received wisdom from Yahweh. But Solomon isn't the only person who has had wisdom from Yahweh. The prophets in the Old Testament also spoke with wisdom, and Jesus, the Messiah, spoke with wisdom, and his apostles also spoke with wisdom. Furthermore, Jesus is said to have become wisdom from God for his followers in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. This wisdom that is in Christ is contrary to the wisdom that can be found in the world, for it deals with righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And if any of us are deficient in wisdom, in which case I think we all are to one degree or another, the Apostle James assures us that it is available for us to ask God for it. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God for it, who gives to everyone generously and without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in trust, without doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed around by the wind. Indeed, that person must not expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded person is unstable in all his ways." To be clear, this wisdom is not just about being intellectually astute or having good discernment in practical matters of life. Rather, wisdom points toward pursuing a life that is defined by justice, love, peace, and goodness, characteristics of Yahweh and virtues that he wants his people to exhibit. Therefore, true wisdom guides us on how to live in a manner like Christ in a hostile world. While the book of Proverbs deals heavily with how to make good decisions that will yield health and success and prosperity in life, those are only byproducts of the moral and ethical dimensions that wisdom teaches. If we will show kindness, be generous and compassionate, treat others fairly, walk with integrity, be true to our word, fear and honor Yahweh, and live with righteousness, then we can expect to see the fruit of that wisdom in our lives. As Jesus said in Luke chapter 7, verse 35, wisdom is shown to be right by all her children. This means that what true wisdom produces proves that it is, in fact, wisdom. Therefore, if we are to live with wisdom, then we must submit to the wisdom that Yahweh provides and learn to walk according to his ways in all things. True wisdom belongs to Yahweh God, for he alone has stored up sound advice for those who walk upright before him. Wisdom comes from Yahweh. This is the wisdom of the proverb.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Words of Wisdom podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, we would be so appreciative if you would share this podcast with your friends. And if you have been blessed by this work, please consider supporting the podcast by clicking on the donation link in the description.